On the show today, we have Deep Future Analytics' very own Dr. Joseph Breeden back on the show talking about COVID recession scenarios, the evolution of. Last time we talked about how they were mild, adverse, severe. Now the new scenarios are V, U, and W. So Joseph talks to us about the meaning of these letters and what it means for credit unions and their members. So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Dr. Joseph Breeden from Deep Future Analytics. Joseph, how are you doing today? It looks like a beautiful day there in New Mexico. Oh my gosh.
It is. It's probably mid-60s. It's a little cool, but it's beautiful.
That's perfect.
You know, I think I probably mentioned last time, I've got two daughters living in LA in their early 20s. And it's a very different experience, the coronavirus lockdown, being here in Santa Fe versus being in LA. So I sympathize, I understand, and I know that I'm fortunate to have a little bit of the outdoors to relax
in. Yeah, they're opening a few things up here in Southern California, so it's not quite as restricted as it once was. But I mean, we're still kind of shelter in place, don't go anywhere unless you need to, but they are opening up a few things. So it's getting a little bit better, but where you are, oh my goodness, that is absolutely, looks picture perfect right there. So I want to take a postcard of that. So beautiful there. So you guys have updated your COVID recession scenarios. Last time we spoke, it was mild, adverse, and severe. And now we're dealing with letters. And it's V, U, and W. And you sent me your newsletter, and there was a Reuters survey of 155 economists weighing in on these letters, whether the economy is going to be in obviously it's a recession, but is it going to be in the shape of a V, a U, or a W, or an L, or a check mark? So can you just kind of give us a lay of the land here? I mean, just, or actually kind of summarize what each letter represents?
Yeah. The letters are just a good shorthand for what shape of a recession you expect. So before we talked about mild, adverse, severe, well, mild isn't really going to happen.
Right.
This is some form of a severe recession. We know how it begins. We know that unemployment, the official number, about 14.7%, it's going to get a little bit worse, just depending on how you count things. GDP is down about a little under 5% last quarter annualized. It's going to be down again. But we can see kind of where we're going to be. I don't want to call it the bottom yet, but we've got a pretty good idea of how this begins. Question is, how does it end?
Right.
And so the discussion is, well, is it just a bounce back? Turn on the lights, open the doors, everybody go back to their normal life. Or is it going to take some time? Are we going to go through a flat spell as we try to restart and then come back up, more of a U shape?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it more a W if there's a second wave, or a check mark if it's just a long, slow recovery? And so, yeah, we can talk about the probabilities of those things. The Reuters study you mentioned, the economists came in about 55% in favor of U. Now, that study is already a couple weeks old. So, you know, with all of us, anybody who's tracking this and trying to make economic projections, you have to put a date by your projection, because it's so dependent on what the government does, on what local governments do, on simply consumer attitude. And so nobody's going to be right here. Everybody's going to be wrong. And it's just a matter of adapting as we go.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like a day. It's literally a day-to-day process. I mean, what's happening right now will be totally different on Monday. So it's just, that's just the way it's been for the past 2 months or so. And so, and you call it a weak U, the winner. I mean, I guess for lack of a better term, the winner here was the U, obviously, like you mentioned, but you call it a weak U, and things could be slow up until 2021, you guys are talking about. So what's the scenario here with that? Why is it a weak U?
Well, and that's my current best guess, is that if I was going to draw a U, we know it comes down pretty sharp. I would say it is not likely to go up as steeply as it came down. And but why is that? The main drivers, it's worth stepping back and saying, how are we going to pick a path here, all of us collectively? Well, there's some key things. And any economist out there immediately recognizes that this is not a recession driven by economics. And so figuring out the path out has to do with medicine, with consumer attitudes, mm-hmm. With a lot of these things. So anyway, as you go through the list, there are a few key points. One of them is immunity, where you talk about asymptomatic cases. There were some great studies, early studies done. 23% of those in New York are already show some, I don't want to say immunity, but that you can show that they have had it and that they were asymptomatic. They didn't know they had had it, but they have. It's a little scary to say that many of us could have already had it, but it's a good thing if it was asymptomatic and you're past it.
Yeah.
So as horrible as it's been in New York, to say that a quarter of the residents may already be past it, we don't know for certain that if you have it, you're going to be immune for a long time. That's still a research topic, but it's better than nothing, right?
Right.
So the hope is, if it is more widespread than we know, that a large percentage are asymptomatic, then that suggests that we could get over this quicker. Similar studies done in the Bay Area and Southern California came up with somewhat similar results. So we need to do a lot more testing to understand mm-hmm. the degree to which mm-hmm. people are immune and asymptomatic and so forth. We need more science, but it's hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing is we need treatments. So they are learning quickly. They're learning a lot. Remdesivir was very effective recently. The statistic was it took the average hospital stay from 15 days to 11 days. But they only gave it to people who are very sick.
Right, right.
If you give it to people who aren't terribly sick, maybe they don't go to hospital, or they would only get it in the hospital, but maybe not long at all.
Right.
Right. So another hopeful sign. And other things about learning how to treat this. We have learned about, it's not just for the old. Yes, a third of the deaths are happening in retirement communities, and that's a scary thing. We need to do a lot more there, mm-hmm. obviously. But we're finding that it attacks blood vessels. And we collectively, the scientists mm-hmm. working on this, which is why you're getting organ failures, why you're getting unexpected cases among people who are younger and healthier. And so there's a lot more to be learned there to help us target, help us understand. They're doing genetic studies to see if people have certain propensities.
Yeah.
The more we learn about these things, the smarter we're going to be. And again, the quicker we can restore some form of normalcy. The third thing is just hospitals. Are they equipped now? And they're in the headlines less, which is generally a good thing. Mm-hmm. I hope that doesn't just mean we're tired of the news. I hope they're actually getting this under control.
Me too.
There are certain tracking you can do on available ICU beds and things like that. So it looks like by flattening the curve, as mm-hmm. everybody talked about, that we're getting to a caught up point where, to be honest, we're not going to get this down to a small number of cases who can be tracked. We keep talking about tracking, but too many people have it to worry about case tracking.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get it to being manageable. Manageable means we can treat it, that the hospitals can take care of if you get there.
Right.
And then the fourth one, if all those things, those are all medically related things, if they give us confidence that we can reopen businesses, It's the old movie line, if they build it, will they come?
Exactly.
Right now, no. Right now, if you have a choice, I have a choice. The hardware stores are open, but you're not going to see me going unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah.
I go to the grocery. I do what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
As long as people are afraid of getting sick, that's going to be the existence for most people. So I'd say even places that open up, it's not enough to open. As a business, you've got to figure out how to make people feel safe, and more than make them feel safe, how to create a safe environment for them. mm-hmm. how to communicate that so that they do feel safe there. And for businesses, I mean, yes, retail, you know, if you're going to be a restaurant, how do you open up so that people are safe? But if you're going to be a business, there's some great studies already about how the disease spread through office buildings. And there was, I saw a doctor wrote a nice long, basically a long blog post where one of his examples was that somebody in an office building had it on a certain floor. They happened to be sitting near the air conditioner.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody downwind of them, and in almost 2/3 of those people caught, spread all the way down the floor, right? But just in the other row, almost no one caught it because they weren't downwind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So airflow matters. So in designing safe spaces, they're going to have to look at airflow. They're going to have to look at obstacles and barriers to airflow. A lot of things that they haven't worried about before. And if you come back to retail spaces, so doing all these things well, doing them right, it's not clear you really get to a V. Not many economists are behind the V at this point because it's just too optimistic that people still have a good reason to be somewhat scared because mm-hmm. this is not cured.
Yeah.
And none of us want to be a guinea pig. That's true.
Right? That's
even
true.
Even if the asymptomatic rate is high, if the mortality rate is 0.1%, is that a dice you want to roll? Obviously, humans don't unless you have to. So if it's not going to be a V, could it be a U? And it's like, yes, it could definitely be a U at this point. We know that we have some treatments. We know that we are learning. We know that a lot of people are catching it without symptoms. So everything I just mentioned, to some degree, those things are happening. And it means that there is a chance that we just go through a sag for a while, mm-hmm. that things flatten out. We hope, we still saw yesterday another 3 million unemployment claims. We hope that slows down more so that unemployment stops rising, so that we can flatten this out over the summer and start a slow, steady recovery. The difference between a U and a W is really what happens in the next couple of months. So even if governments reopen, it may actually be in all of our best interest, even our economically speaking, in our best interest, if consumers take it slow. Because the worst thing would be we all rush back and there's another wave and we get a second lockdown.
Yep.
And for consumer psychology, I think a second lockdown is a really bad thing. So there's nothing wrong with advising caution for people, because if we have a slow, steady recovery as we avoid a big spreading event, we avoid a second wave mm-hmm. just because people are being smart,
mm-hmm.
that's a good thing. So, yeah, I encourage people, stay smart, wear your mask.
Take it slow.
<Don't>, yeah.